7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here, along with Angel Santana, Noah Santana, and Ariel Santana on the other side of the glass. Angel, it seems like it's been a year since we've recorded.
I tell you, I feel like I'm a little Barry White-ish with my sick voice as I am battling a cold, but not sick enough to do the Croc Podcast reunion show.
Well, I'm very glad to have you back, and you've been holding down the fort at the house with sick kids and a sick wife and a sick self and going to emergency rooms and hospitals and medications and televisits and working and doing everything and trying to balance it all. God bless you, Angel. We've been all praying for you on our side. And as far as I go, I just returned back from a very nice trip overseas to Scotland to hike the West Highland Way. And what better way to start an entire new module on exercise than having done an 8-day hike in Europe? What do you think about that, Angel?
Wow. And that's news to me because I didn't even know that. I'm so excited. Let's go with it.
Exactly. So just a little Croc history. So actually a little personal history. I think, Angel, you and I both share the unfortunate distinction of having been the chubby kid growing up, being the kid that maybe was a little less athletic than the other kids, the kid that was bullied, the kid that was kind of pushed around a little. Does that sound familiar?
Absolutely.
You and I have actually dealt with this subject on your podcast, and it's been a very very deep and moving subject for us. But back in 1997, you know, I had kind of looked at myself in the mirror and thought that I wasn't going to really be able to see my kids, who are your kids' ages now, grow up if I didn't start making some changes. So a dear friend of mine, we call him Jimmy the Juice Man, who was a cancer survivor, took me in the woods for the first time, threw a pack on my back, and the rest is history. And when we founded the Croc organization in 1999, in addition to all of the dinners and all of the lectures and all of the content and all of the teaching and all of the fellowship between survivors, one of the major pillars was exercise. It was, you know, taking the survivors out for bike rides or hikes up Bear Mountain or just walking. And we had a running club. There was a gentleman by the name of Richard Miller, who was a survivor, who inspired us. He was a triathlete in the days before triathlons became really hip. And he was, one of the, I guess, founding members of the USA Triathlon. And we formed an adventure team, and we did runs, and survivors were trained, and they did marathons. And I'll tell you, it makes a lot of sense to me that exercise is so important to survivors. And I'm so proud that exercise was really at the hub of the foundation of the organization.
I think that's an important aspect to anything, especially with exercise, just the word itself. And as you know, I mean, I've been getting myself even in better health, and I almost feel like things happen for a reason. For me, I was in shape to get sick, to be in better shape, to withstand what I've got. But exercise, you know, just a keynote on that, it's also very good mentally. It really does. It puts your life and your mind in a better perspective.
Well, let's expand on that. So if I were going to ask you what would be some of the things that you're experiencing, you know, getting yourself back into shape, you know, what would you tell the survivors would be some of the, what would you say, fringe benefits of putting in the work?
I will say the number one thing for me was energy. I'm a very energetic person as it is, but I think I ran on adrenaline, and I know the difference now between adrenaline and eating right and getting good energy. Adrenaline, you'll feel like you have a lot of, I don't want to keep using the same word, but you feel like you have the ability to accomplish things for the day. But then when you get home, you are exhausted. Whereas when you're actually exercising and getting those good nutrients, you have this great feeling from start to finish. And even at night when it's time to go to bed, you still feel that you have the energy, but it's a nice, easy transition to go to bed and you sleep better too.
Oh, absolutely. And that was my number one thing for survivors was energy. What would you say if I said self-confidence?
Oh, listen, before I started working out, I've had a very limited wardrobe. My wardrobe has expanded. So the confidence now in the fact that I can wear outfits that make me feel good. And when I look in the mirror, I don't see that person that I was seeing before. You walk around with your chin up, you have a better posture, you just feel better about yourself. Hence, you have a better attitude, a better feel for other environments and even negative things that come up. Everything and anything, you can just feel like you can accomplish the world.
Oh, absolutely. And you hit it straight. Self-confidence, self-image. How about if I told you that there is data, and we're going to dive into the data during this module, not necessarily today. Today's more of an introduction, and we're going to kind of hit on the topics that we're going to be managing. But cancer-related health can definitely be improved by exercise, meaning your cancer outcome, with the data to prove that. Also, your non-cancer related health, things as we get into middle age and even older, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, these are all things that can benefit from exercise. Stamina, as you said, the energy in order to manage your cancer treatments, and reconditioning, using exercise to recondition yourself after cancer treatment. So those are my thoughts, Angel. What are your thoughts?
I think so. I mean, listen, you know, we could have such a huge podcast just on confidence, just on, when you say the word exercises, it's like, I look at this bubble, right? This circle. And then you can just streamline so many things from it, Tom. But I think the number one thing is, besides the word exercise, is I think it has to go to self-confidence. I think we have to hit that point because, yes, you're getting into shape, but we all need that we need that attribute that I think a lot of us lack in certain parts of our lives. And I think that if people had a very good confidence level, it puts us in a better understanding and a better perspective and a better opportunity to withstand anything negative, especially positive.
Oh, absolutely. And then what I was going to just say, what the millennials would say, what my kids would say, is that exercise makes you a badass. And you're already a badass if you have cancer. And now you have to fight this cancer and you have to be a double badass. So exercise is going to help you in your fight as well. The caveat that we're going to always start with is safety. We're going to make sure that we tell our survivors, because we're going to give you a lot of information and we're going to talk to some really great people during this module, some experts in the field of exercise and fitness and nutrition. But what you need to do first is you have a homework assignment. You have to tell your primary care what you want to do, that you want to start an exercise program. You want to tell your oncologist that you're going to start an exercise program. And you have to, perhaps if you're an old man like me, maybe even see a cardiologist to make sure your ticker is ticking right, right? You would agree with that, Angel?
Yes, definitely. And that's what I did, by the way, for the record. When I started working out, I let my pulmonologist know, I let my cardiologist know, my primary care doctor, because medications can have issues. I don't want to go into a different topic for you, but for myself, because I have high blood pressure, hypertension, now that I'm working out, I find myself having to be on the lookout because we may have to reduce that, you know, that medication.
Thank you, Angel. That is perfect. I wanted to just mention that many people look at exercise differently. Some people actually get quite a high from doing exercise. Many people actually look forward to exercising. Many people dread about to exercise. And I think the best quote I've ever heard about exercise is the greatest experience or the greatest opportunity where you actually hate doing it, but love having done it. Does that sound right?
Yes. And as you were saying that, I was saying to myself, I actually, when I wake up, I actually get nervous to work out. I'm excited, but I'm nervous because I don't know what body part's going to hurt.
Yeah, no, of course. And what we're going to be teaching the survivors is some of the things that have always been a bugaboo for me that have, you know, the data, the literature has shown to be the most helpful to make the most health impact are the things that I hate the most. So I'm a very slow endurance guy. That's how I actually got into exercise, by doing some hiking, putting a pack on my back and just going at my own pace and climbing a mountain. And that was that, sweating like a pig and, you know, not suffering so much because that's sort of what is comfortable for me. But the data shows, and we'll be talking about high intensity training. We're going to talk about resistance training and weight training. You know, there are people that love to lift weights and there are people that absolutely hate to lift weights. Sadly, I'm in the second group, but our cancer survivors, it's going to be very necessary for you to do both of those two things that I hate: lifting weights, getting stronger, resistance training, as well as high intensity exercise. And we're going to actually quantify everything, tell you exactly what we mean by this, and actually put some metrics together. So I think the best advice that I can give, as people have always told me in life, is that if you make your work your hobby or your passion, then you'll feel like you've never worked a day in your life. So I'd like to use the same simile or analogy and say the same for exercise. So if you can make your hobby or passion your exercise, then exercise won't be so terrible. And really, to be honest with you, the high intensity or the strength training doesn't have to be the dominant part where that's all you're doing. It could be a small part of it, but it does have to be a part of it. So I put together, Angel, just kind of jotting some notes down, 25 activities, and I'm sure I could have thought of 125 more, just to kind of give our survivors an idea of some of the things that they wouldn't even think could be considered exercise. So what would you think the first thing that I'm going to tell our survivors to do?
Well, I'm going to say not cry because the baby's crying.
Hi, Noah. Thank you for your input. Actually, I bet you crying is probably very aerobic. So your son is getting in shape right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will say this. You did say, I know you asked me that question, but there is a quote that I've learned to live by with exercising. And I think it'd be a perfect way to start it that way. And it's let nothing hold you back from creating the life you've always wanted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love it, but I still want you to answer my question.
Of course. You know what? And I did mention that. I said, I'm not gonna answer your question.
I know.
I caught myself.
You did.
I know.
It's very simple.
Am I overthinking it?
Yes. It's about as natural as, what do you do when you get up from bed?
Stretch.
Okay, that's a good one. What else? When you want to go to the bathroom, what do?
Brush your teeth.
Oh my God, you're really overthinking this.
Well, listen, you asked me what I do. That's my
routine. Don't you just have to walk?
In my 900 square foot home, I could reach and touch the toilet. So in most people's homes, yes, not mine. No, you're right. When you walk to the bathroom.
You just gave me a straight line that because of the fact this is a family program, I'm not going to even touch it. But just walking, you know, our survivors, I mean, my dear beloved survivors, I mean, you know, if you're really deconditioned or if you're really starting from nothing, just walking, just putting one foot in front of the other, you know, going a quarter mile, a tenth of a mile, you know, going up one flight of stairs, just something very non-ambitious. I actually didn't put this in there, but I'm going to use Angel, since he didn't get the first question right, I'll actually give him credit for thinking about stretching, stretching out your joints and doing some yoga. That's also an excellent, excellent exercise and enterprise that many people, me not one of them, but, you know, that really turns a lot of people on. Jogging, you know, if you happen to be athletic and, you know, again, you see your cardiologist first, but you do a little half mile run, you go around the track, quarter mile, intervals or whatever. That's another thing you could do that might be fun. The people that I know that are runners absolutely love running. If they miss a day running, like their day is totally done. Hiking, trekking, another sort of, I guess, a higher level of walking, you know, going up Bear Mountain, Harriman, you know, all the little beautiful trails over here in the Hudson Valley and wherever our survivors happen to be. I'm sure there are trails around everyone that you wouldn't even think about. My daughter lives in Manhattan. You know, there's Central Park. There's neighborhood walks and things. Biking. I happen to love biking. That happens to be one of my passions. Skiing, regular skiing, cross-country skiing. If you grew up playing basketball, maybe you just put a hoop up in your driveway and you just shoot, you know, throw the ball around a little bit. That's exercise. What if you love baseball? Angel and I are bona fide Mets fans who just won the first game of a doubleheader tonight against the Rockies. You don't have to play hardball, but how about tossing the ball with your kid? How about tossing the ball to a pitchback? How about maybe joining us, your organization or your work softball team? I'm a fisherman. Now, people don't think fishing is a big deal or an aerobic exercise, but if you're a surf caster and you're, you know, really working it, you know, that could be exercise. And here you are having a great time and you're exercising at the same time. Many people play golf. Golfing, say you go to the golf club and you say, Dr. Santana, would you like your usual cart? And you say, you know what, Jimmy, I think I'm going to walk it today. And you get yourself a little hand cart and you walk the 18 holes. You could play some football, hopefully not tackle football, but you could probably throw a football around or play some flag football. I'm sure there are these flag football leagues sprouting everywhere. You might like to throw the Frisbee around, Frisbee golf, or just toss a Frisbee.
I got one for you.
Go ahead. Go.
This is a real one. People that can't get out of the house.
Yeah.
Laundry. Believe it or not, taking the laundry and putting it in a basket, and it really helps. I have actually used that in a theory. I take it and walk
totally.
It.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I was going to say, yeah, Angel, that was a great one because I was going to say even puttering around the house. You can do squats while you're puttering. You could just do high stepping, or you could just do a quick push up, or, you know, whatever. Absolutely. You can make, and we're going to get into that when we talk about a thing called squirts, but thank you. That was perfect. I was going to say just flying a kite, you know, it's not as easy as you think, especially if you really put some effort into it. Jumping rope, you know, playing hopscotch, little things that you might've done as a kid, you might want to take up to get some exercise if that was your passion as a kid. You might want to just, you know, in work, Angel, I get a consult to the second floor. You know, it's just two flights of stairs. You know, instead of taking the elevator, you walk up those two flights of stairs. Swimming. People love water sports, water aerobics, doing water polo. You can do aerobics. You could just basically, you could ride a horse. You could walk your dogs. You're on vacation. You would think that you're going to gain weight because you're eating all foods that you wouldn't normally do, but don't take that bus ride. Don't take that on and off the bus. Just walk the city, you know, walk Barcelona, walk Montreal, you know, walk Santa Barbara, walk, you know, Albuquerque, walk everywhere, walk to the museums, walk everywhere. Lawn care. Working around the house, as Angel said so nicely, home care, that's what Angel mentioned, gardening. My wife's new passion is gardening. I can definitely tell you she comes in, you know, after a good gardening session, probably very winded and feeling very good about herself. Washing your car. If you happen to have a nice car, don't go to the car wash. Wash it and wax it yourself. That's a workout. Cutting wood for fires, you know, that's a workout. So, well, I just mentioned 25. Angel gave me 3-4 more. So we're about 30 things that we just gave you as an idea, you know, to put your hat into the ring. And again, make it feel like you're not working out. Make working out fun. And we also are going to we're going to have a session on low impact endurance workouts. There's a lot of things that are good about them. And we're also going to be talking about high intensity training. We're going to be talking about that thing I said before, the squirts. I call them squirts. So every time you go to the bathroom, do 5 squats, do 5 push-ups, and, you know, 5 side-by-sides or something like that, 5 lunges. Me with the prostate probably the size of a watermelon, I probably will become like a bodybuilder by the time, you know, the end of one day. That's how many push-ups I'd be doing. But all kidding aside, you get the point. We're going to actually have, my coach on talking about resistance training and strength training, Jim Quinn, who's amazing. Lori and Buddha Angel are going to be on talking about high intensity training. They're the people who own the CrossFit gym that Angel and I go to.
Awesome.
We're also going to talk about all the different things that are out there. They have the Orange Theory, the Pelotons, the CrossFits. There's a million gym memberships. There's Planet Fitness and Gold's Gym and this Anytime Fitness. There's about a billion different, I guess, what would you say, like franchises that are out there 24 hours a day or whatever.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that, gym memberships. We're also going to be talking about apps on your phone, because just on my phone, I just was looking at my own phone. I have a thing called Whoop, which we're going to talk about. We'll spend a podcast on that. There's a health application. There's a heart watch application. You could actually have your EKG done on your app and it can be sent to your cardiologist. There's the Nike Run Club. There's the Tribe. That's where you sign up for your classes. There's the All Trails if you want to find a trail or trail links. There's Cross Rope to give you different workouts for your jump roping. There's Strava that follows all your biking and gives you all your metrics. And we're going to have actually a podcast on the importance of actually following your data and following your metrics and trying to move toward improvement and how important that is. And we're also going to be talking about, FitIV is another app that I have, Polar. You remember those chest straps, Angel, keeps your heart rate. We're going to be talking about heart rate ranges for each person and what the ranges and what the goals for heart rate should be. And Under Armour, because you have to look good when you're sweating. So you have to make sure you get all your good swag out there. And we're also going to have in this module, probably as my coach always said to me, I would be doing these weights and working hard and doing all the things I should do. And I go in and there's no difference and I look the same. And I say, Coach, what's going on? And he says, well, you know what, Tom? You're winning the battle in the gym, but you're losing the battle of the knife and fork. So we're going to be talking a little bit about nutrition as well, because you do have an obligation in order to make it a very encompassing or a comprehensive plan that has to be a part of it. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. So just to, in conclusion, we're just going to talk a little bit about the modules coming up. So today is an intro. We're going to talk about some data coming up as our second podcast in the module. We're going to be talking about the knife and fork and nutrition. We're going to talk about low impact endurance versus high intensity training. We're going to be talking about resistance and strength training. We're going to be talking about the gyms, the CrossFits, the Orange Theories, the Pelotons, talking about workout buddies. And we're going to be talking about metrics and how important keeping a track of your metrics are. And then we're going to put it all together. Do you think this has the potential for a good module there, Mr. Angel?
I think it's awesome. I'm glad that I was not even aware of it, because I'm excited about it, especially since I'm beginning my journey. And I want to add a little thing that you were talking about with all these apps too. A lot of these people have Fitbits and they have these apps.
That's right. That's another one. Correct.
Yeah. And your watch too. Like my watch keeps Apple track watch. Of my
Apple Health. Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff. So there's so many ways that you can, you know, better your health and not have to pay extra because it's already included.
Correct. Correct. Angel, I always end the podcast with my gratitude shout outs. Of course, you number one, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. What a week you've had, my friend. You are living Christianity. You really walk the walk and you talk the talk. And your family is very lucky to have you taking care of them, even though you're sick yourself. Rod Freeman, our dear friend, Rod, who's pretty much running the show behind the scenes for us, Small Biz Up, one of the greatest men we know. We have Michael and Benzea and Charlotte Larson, who just gave us their yearly donation to keep us going. Mikey, I know you don't really listen that much, but we love you and we thank you very much. The board of directors, who are amazing. We had dinner with them a couple of weeks ago on my birthday. Just did some great, great work, and I'm very grateful to each one of them. And of course, to you, the survivors, our dearest, dearest hearts. We do this for you guys. We try to give you the information you need to put in your toolbox to make your survivorship just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit easier. And our prayers and our thoughts and our love are with you always. And we end this podcast, as we do each podcast, on behalf of Angel, myself, and the board of directors here at CROC. We wish you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. God keep you. Peace.